Let's pray, God. We thank you, our Father, for all your gifts. We thank you for your word, our rock. Now may your spirit be our only teacher, and may your word break open through the power of your precious spirit. Amen. Have you ever been in an argument? Can you remember? Put on your, it'll take you a long time. Can you remember your last argument? Have you ever had the same argument more than once with the same person? Why do people argue? In marriage, at work, in the church, in neighborhoods, clubs. John was saying in Sunday school that even business gurus will say the number one problem in most situations is an inability to communicate. In 1990, a gentleman wrote a book that became somewhat prophetic, and we see it playing out all the time. He was a great thinker and writer, Arthur Schlesinger. And he wrote this book in 1990, so that was almost 30 years ago. And it was called The Disuniting of America. And what he argued was that we were moving to a place that we would be so balkanized into our own little tribes that hatred would reign and violence would reign, that we couldn't even talk to one another again. I think he was prophetic. On a personal level, have you ever been misinterpreted? Have you ever been given the silent treatment, which sometimes can be louder than words? Have you ever wished you had kept your mouth shut? Do you ever just think that this thing called communication is more trouble than it's worth? I don't argue too much when I'm alone. When it's just me, I can't always say that's the case. Have you ever asked anyone, "Didn't you hear me? Can't you understand me? Why are you so dense?" I wouldn't use that last one. But the others, you know, you're free to use. Why don't you hear me? Well, as we were talking today, at Pentecost, the gift was not so much a gift of speaking, but a gift of hearing. Everyone spoke their native languages, their different cultures, their different cities that they represented, their different accents. But everyone, through the power of the Spirit, was enabled to hear. Everyone was one. Martin Luther says that the beauty of this gift is that it came upon all. And I would agree, the most important word in the Pentecost story is all. See, we understand from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from looking around, there are some people it makes sense that God's blessings come upon. For some of us, it makes sense. Oh yeah, that makes sense. I understand why you blessed Billy Graham. I understand why you blessed Mother Teresa. I understand. But the message of the gospel, the sermon that he preached, the message of the entirety of the gospel, is that the grace, the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon all. And Luther said, Peter and even the women became doctors and prophets, greater than all the prophets, speaking of Christ as it stands written in all the prophets. Such an unlearned man suddenly receives a complete understanding that no one else is able to understand skillfully. The temple that they were in were full of educated fools compared with the ability that the Holy Spirit gave to even the lowest plowboy. What a gift. The Holy Spirit came upon all. Aren't you glad that God has no favorites? In some families, there are favorites. sometimes the favorites are identified. Sometimes the favorites are wrong. But do you know God has no favorites? The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead is on each one of us if we call upon the name of Christ. There are no favorites. I was reading something this past week, and it said that we all, when I say family Bible, think of a big old Bible that maybe was handed down and it's got clippings and roses and genealogies in it. But this author was making the point, and I thought this is so necessary for us to hear in our fragmented society, especially among Christians. He said, every Bible is a family Bible. Every Bible is a family Bible. When I pick this up and read it, it's not just me and God. It's a conversation that's been going on. It involves you. We read it together. As we read in, or would read in Genesis 12, all the families of earth will be blessed by this word. Not by our effort. Babel, as we heard, leads to confusion. We can build our Tower of Babel, as Brandon read, but as the psalmist would say, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. But by the Spirit, we can do it. I'm not very talented when it comes to wood projects. You come to the barn raising next week at Roberts, you'll see how inept I am. The men that helped me move my books into my basement still joke about how I didn't know how to nail two boards together. But I'm learning. I'm not very good at projects. And one of the things that I've learned is usually with projects, the more I try to fix it, the worse it gets. Now, that's not very good grammar, but it's just factual. Do you know that phenomenon? Now, some of you with crafts can fix a sink. I can't. Maybe you can. But maybe there are other issues that you've really tried hard to fix, and you can't. There are the situations that you've given it the old college try. You've rolled up your sleeves and worked hard, or maybe you tried to pull the right strings or manipulate the right people. And you've worked diligently and you've tried to build it so you could reach this pinnacle. Can't do it. The joy, the good news I bring you this morning is you don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit came upon us all. And by coming upon us all, made us all one. As we talked in Sunday school, we see a reversal of Babel in Pentecost. But I also think because of the oneness, we see a reversal of another gentleman I like to read. He's one of my favorite authors, and he sings what he reads. His name is Bob Seger. And one of his my favorite of his songs, Against the Wind, he has that wonderful line that Pentecost reverses. He has that wonderful line that he found himself toward the end of life surrounded by strangers he thought were his friends. You ever found that? Somebody you just knew you could count on, somebody you thought was your friend. Well, Pentecost is the exact opposite. We're surrounded by friends that we once were strangers. But now in Christ Jesus, we're one. And upon all of us is one, the Holy Spirit has fallen. And if you look in Acts 2, look what this Holy Spirit does. Now the critics were right when they said, they're just drunk. They're filled with new wine. Now, they're being sarcastic. Because new wine is grape juice. And if you get drunk on grape juice, you're pretty silly or naive. Now, Peter's response is quite funny. It's like, no, we can't be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock. We didn't get started that early. So it's... But I want to tell you that they were correct. They were doing things that they couldn't do of their own power because they were filled with new wine. Not the new wine of a vine, but the new wine of the blessings of God through the Holy Spirit. That newness that they had imbibed then was not alcohol. They were drenched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it made them sing. It made them dance. It made them grow. We see in verse 41. They had power. It gave them excitement. N.T. Wright, a great British scholar, he writes in correcting our understanding of the Holy Spirit, if we look at this Acts 2 passage, he said that too many Christians think that the gift of the Holy Spirit is so that we can walk around all the time, and he calls it a spiritual Disneyland, where we're just giddy and happy and everything is sweet and kind. And if we really have the Holy Spirit, we'll always have a smile on our face and everything will be great, and it'll just be like a perpetual Disneyland. And he shows, as he correctly notices, the Holy Spirit wasn't given so that I can have warm fuzzies. The Holy Spirit wasn't given so I can be in a perpetual Disneyland. The Holy Spirit was given so I can go out and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. By what I say, by how I live, by what I do. Because you remember in Jesus when he told them you needed to forgive others 70 times 7, which is 490 times a day. Well, of course that's hyperbole. I mean, if you've got someone that's offending you 490 times a day, I might suggest you relocate. I mean, but they cried out, "Lord, this is impossible." And guess what he said? "Oh no, you really can do it. Just try. Try again." No, he spoke the truth. He said, "Yes, it is impossible. But with God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say to that mountain, 'Move.'" You've probably got somebody in your life that's real hard to love. You may have a situation in your life that you cringe thinking about. You can't handle it. The good news of all of the day is the Holy Spirit fell on its own. Let God be God. And all of us just grateful. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the Nicene Creed. You find it on page 880. I chose that over the Apostles' Creed because it speaks more fully of the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we recite this together, please give ear and attention to what we believe. Together, brothers and sisters, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen.
join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of surprises, your spirit brooded over the waters of creation and lived among the chosen people in wilderness, exile, and promised land. Your spirit filled Mary's womb at the moment of Jesus' conception and came upon him like a dove at his baptism. When Christ died on the cross, your power raised him from the tomb on the third day. And that same evening, he breathed your forgiving grace on those who had deserted him. On the day of Pentecost, you sent your spirit upon the fearful disciples, filling them with fire, with power, with wonder, and joy, and making them your church. And so we gladly thank you with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth have full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
God of comfort and strength, we look to your Holy Spirit to be with us in sorrow and in contentment, in crisis and in abiding stillness. Come among us now with the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your image, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God's dreams and prophecies sent down upon us your wisdom of your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, of healing, discernment, and interpretation. That your church may be built up in the likeness of your Son. Let anyone who is hungry find in you the bread of life, and anyone who is thirsty find in you rivers of living water. Speak your word to all who are alone and in fear or despair. And let each one of your children hear your voice in their own language, whether that language be art or science, work or play. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your new life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit wasn't a very gentlemanly sort. They were in the middle of preaching. He came unannounced. He invaded. He interrupted. Sometimes in your life, you feel like God comes, but just at the wrong times. Not in the right way. We often think of a line. It's not in the Bible. It's not even from a hymn. It's from a hymn, but it's not in the Bible, by a British son of a pastor named William Cowper. It looks like Cowper, but it's Cowper. And that hymn says, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." You've heard that. Cowper also wrote another hymn. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And I think what we can see in these hymns is we can be okay with the mysterious and interrupting way that God may work. We trust the God that works there, because we know that that God gave us His Son. And there is a fountain that's full. And you are invited to come and to receive unto yourself the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord your God in sincerity and truth. Please come. We practice by intention. Then come over to the kneeling bench where you will have an opportunity for prayer. Katie will be over at the corner. She can join with you in prayer if you have a special concern. Let us come and receive our healing.